Welcome to another edition of Keller City Limits, the podcast covering everything Keller, from politics, sports, and anything in between. Your host for the broadcast, Doug Miller.
You're too small to play ball, Coach Jackson used to scream. He said I'd never make the team, but I didn't give up on that dream. I
lived in that. Hello, everybody. This is Doug Miller, and welcome to Keller City Limits, episode number two. We're coming to you on a pollen-filled October evening, and I apologize for my voice as my allergies are acting up. I had the opportunity to sit down with Keller Mayor Pat McGrail this afternoon. We covered a wide range of topics, from his background to whether he plans to run for office again in the spring. If you've ever had the chance to meet and talk with Mayor McGrail, you know that he's a very likable guy, and like me, has an opinion on just about everything. I did my best to just let him talk, as it's an interview of him rather than a conversation with me that you tuned in to listen to. The interview process took about 2 hours of time this afternoon, and when I had emailed Pat earlier about the interview, I told him I shouldn't be more than about 30 minutes. But the mayor insisted I meet one of our new assistant city managers and the new head of economic development. I spent 10 to 15 minutes with each gentleman talking about future plans and just getting to know each other. The interview itself edited out to about 45 minutes, so I'm going to break it into two separate podcasts to make it more appealing to listen to. I'd like to thank Mayor McGrail again for his time. I've never done anything like this before, and he made it easy. I hope you enjoy it. Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you for being our first guest on the maiden broadcast of Keller City Limits. I want to go on the record and let listeners know that I both supported monetarily and voted for Pat McGrail in the last election. With that said, I'd like to take the first few minutes and talk about how you got to be mayor of Keller. First, if we could find out a little of your background, starting with where you grew up and how you ended up in Keller.
Okay. Well, first off, Doug, let me thank you for your support over the years. And more importantly, the fact that you've chose to sit down and interview me as your first ever. I consider that an honor, so I appreciate that. Basically, I grew up in Pennsylvania in a steel town. So it's a long way from here, and graduated from high school, went away to school like everybody else does, and basically never returned. And I think I learned a lot having grown up in a steel town. I saw the good times, I saw the bad times. And I saw what can happen, you know, if you don't have good planning. It's kind of disheartening. I hate to even go back there anymore to see, you know, the direction some of those communities have gone over the years. Went to school, was fortunate enough to get a job with American Airlines, and I spent 38 years in American, and it was a great career. It was a good company. After 38 years, I decided to retire back in 2005.
And you retired as?
I was a regional director in charge of maintenance engineering. And I was responsible for the operations throughout the Western United States and Canada. So it's kind of a good fit for what I'm doing now. I mean, basically, I had 38 different cities I oversaw the operation of and quite a few employees. So
how many employees?
Direct employees, probably about 1,200.
1,200 direct?
Yeah.
And then we, subcontractors
we had a lot of subcontractors. Yeah, big numbers, yeah. So because, you know, we did a lot of outsourcing. In a lot of the smaller cities, we outsourced a lot of our work. So, yeah. So I had the experience of, you know, you go into a city and negotiate contracts with different vendors and whatever, provide the service, and obviously make sure that, you know, do a resource on, make sure they, in fact, could meet our requirements and provide a good level of service. But it was a very interesting job. I really enjoyed my job. I loved it, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, that particular job, I held that position for 18 years. Most people say, wow, must be something wrong with this guy being one position for 18 years. But, you know, you find your niche, or as I like to say, my place in life. And when I got to that position, I was just so content with, and honestly, it was such a good fit for me that I just never had any desire to go any farther. And there was many, an opportunity came along over the years, and I was just, you know, plus in honesty, I didn't want to leave Keller.
Right.
That was what brought me here, because in all my years with the airline, I, in fact, did move a lot. And that was one of the reasons I came to Keller, because as my family started to grow, I was concerned, because a lot of my friends over the years, I would watch, you know, and you know, I've lived in every city there is to speak of, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And I didn't want to suddenly have my family scattered all over the country. So it was important to me. My wife and I both are very family-oriented, and it was important to me that we find a place we could settle down, call home, and raise our family. And it really worked out well because I found what I think is the best city that anybody could want to live in, and all three of my kids still live here. And now we have our grandkids, so it's a good fit. So I don't plan on going anywhere. I'm just happy to be here in Keller, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
So you've been married to your wife now?
As a matter of fact, 41 years, and I'm embarrassed to say this. When we had our 41st anniversary, I was in Washington going to emergency management school.
Last week, when you were out of town.
Yeah, but that's typical for me because we got married on a Saturday, and I started to work with American Airlines on Monday morning. So.
Oh, so you got married right before you got your job for
American. Yeah, right after I got out of the service, because I was waiting to get out of the service. When I got discharged, on Friday, got married Saturday, started working American on Monday.
So 41 years ago, you got out of the service in 67?
Yeah, it started American in 67.
So did you go to Vietnam? Or?
No, I never left the States.
Never left the States.
It was very fortunate. I did my basic down in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, 101st Airborne. And then I went up to AIT in a place called Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, and I never left there. I ended up being an instructor there. And
you were good enough that they kept you on to be an instructor.
Yeah, but it was great. And in all honesty, if I hadn't been set to get married, I might still be in the military. I don't know. The thought went through my mind about sticking around, but I already had other commitments, so it was good. Life worked out good for me.
So you ran first for city council in 1995.
Yes, sir.
What prompted that run?
Well, that was following the recall election. We moved here in 89, and again, like I say, I came here in 89 because I was looking for a place to call home where I could settle down, raise a family, and never have to worry about leaving again. And not long after we came here, we did get involved in the community. We've always been involved, no matter what city we lived in. My wife was on the park board. Matter of fact, it's funny, she was part of the group that acquired initially the land for what we now know as the athletic complex, and it was her group that started the trail system. We were just down Bear Creek Park here two weeks ago for the Wild West Fest, and I saw her name down there in the monument for the fact that it dedicated the trail system. I was on the Zoning Board of Adjustment initially, and that was back in the early 90s, and just had been involved in it. And then we went through some bad times here in Keller. Don't need to go through that, but we had the recall election back in 95. And during the course of the recall election, the people came to me and asked me if I'd run. And honestly, I'd never, ever had any thoughts about running for city council. I just, like anybody else, I just care about the town I live in. I want to try and do whatever I can to help it. So I agreed to run, and I ran for a one-year unexpired term as a result of the recall election. And my thought was I'd just go in there for a year and help. To say this, get everything straightened out. Well, didn't take me long to realize it takes more than a year to do anything, So after the first year, I decided to run again for another 2 years. Long story short, I ended up serving five terms.
Besides being a whole lot smaller, how was Keller different during those times?
Wow, where could I start? When I came here, there wasn't a lot to Keller, but it was still a great community. Had the small town feel, small town charm, and that's what brought me here, and that's what we're still trying to keep. But in those days, you could go anywhere in town, you always ran into somebody you knew. I remember when 1709 was a two-lane road. 377, as a matter of fact, was a two-lane road. We only had a couple traffic lights in town. It amazes me how much the town's grown in the short time I've been here. And I'm actually proud of the fact that I've been a part of a lot of it. Seen a lot of neighborhoods, Hidden Lakes, for example. That was, when I first got elected, that was one of our main priorities, was to get Hidden Lakes going. And I'm really proud of the way that turned out. But
Arlen Cox, who I serve on P&Z, said that when Hidden Lakes was going through, now that was before my time, before I lived in Keller, there was a lot of controversy about even bringing Hidden Lakes in.
There was. A lot of people were concerned about the impact on the community and what type of development was going to be. But again, I think one of the things that I learned over my years with the airline was, having lived in so many different communities and different states, you kind of learn, you get to see what's good and what's bad, and you learn from other people's mistakes. And the one thing was, when I first came here, in all honesty, I live to this day in Brentwood, and the reason I chose Brentwood was because even then, back in the late 80s, there was plans for a master plan community, and it was going to border on Brentwood. So I thought, well, this would do nothing but enhance the neighborhood and that area of town, so I thought it would be a nice neighborhood to live in. I watched numerous developers come and go. People like the Strand Corporation out of Vancouver, Canada, the Smiths out of Colleyville. And these people were all ran off by the local politics and the whatever reason nobody wanted to deal with or could work out, you know, an agreement. So Smiths went over to Colleyville and built their basically town center in Colleyville. But the one that really got my attention, the last group that came in here was Mobile Land Corporation, which was at that time in the 80s a division of Mobile Oil. And they wanted to build what we now know today as Hidden Lakes. And again, the politics at the time ran them off. So they left here and they went down the road to South Lake, and they built a little neighborhood in South Lake called Timorone. And we all know where that went.
Right.
Timorone, in my mind, was the catalyst that made South Lake what it is today. So
sure.
I guess what I'm saying is we years ago could have had the Timorone. It could have been here in Keller, and we could have, who knows, what we'd have today and what South Lake would be.
But
you can't look back.
Yeah,
you can't second guess.
And Hidden Lakes turned out to be a
great development
for town.
And to me, it was so important because I wanted to have a master plan community because Hidden Lakes community brought in all their own infrastructure. You know, we wouldn't, as a city, be able to afford to build the Bear Creek Parkways and provide all the amenities. That's the important thing. You know, we have an 18-hole golf course as a result. We have a clubhouse that's open to the public. We've got, what is it, at least maybe five different parks and playgrounds, recreational facilities, swimming pools. Beautiful community. And in all honesty, it's all maintained and paid for by the people that live there. Whereas if it had not developed that way, then the citizens of Keller would have had to bear the burden of all the additional. So it was a win-win. And I'm proud of Hidden Lakes. You know, it's funny because obviously I've gotten to know a lot of the mayors and I've known a lot of them prior too, but since I've become mayor, we work very close together, and I tease some of the other mayors, like, for example, Nick Sanders, Open Trophy Club, good friend, and I tease him every once in a while and say, well, you know, I have neighborhoods, meaning Hidden Lakes, bigger than your whole town. And it's true.
It is.
So it is something to be proud of.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of it.
You served your five terms, and then when Mayor Phillips decided not to run for another term in 2003, you filed for mayor.
Yes.
And so did Councilman Tandy.
Yes.
You ultimately lost that election.
Yes.
With the benefit of hindsight, 6 years later, nearly 6 years later, can you tell us why you think you lost that election?
Well, you know, we'll never know for sure, but I must admit I was disappointed. But I think a lot of it was my own fault. Because of the fact that I'd been involved in the city for so long and felt like I was such a, you know, part of, and I had been the mayor pro tem for 4 years prior to that, and most people just assumed that I would be the logical successor to the mayor. Well, keyword, you never assume anything. And to Julie's credit, she really worked hard. I mean, she went out there and she just really worked very hard and got a lot of people out there to get out and support and work for her. I, in all honesty, if anything, I was too complacent. And you learn. You cannot be complacent. If anything, it was a good lesson for me because I learned you can't never take anything for granted.
But you did lose, and you spent 4 years away from public life.
Mm-hmm.
I know you spent some time on a KISD bond oversight committee.
Right.
But other than that, what did you do with your time?
Well, I did find out that there was life beyond the city of Keller. You know, I was at the point after I'd been involved in the city for about 12 years, and I just didn't think I could live without Keller. But, you know, I accepted the fact that the citizens made a choice. And, you know, sometimes you have to just move on with your life. And as hard as it was for me to no longer be involved in the city, the citizens did make a choice, and they decided they wanted Julie to, you know, be the leader of. And I did accept that. So I kind of, as I like to say, moved on with my life. I spent 2 more years with American. And then I had the opportunity to retire, and actually retire early. But it was too good of a deal to pass up, so I did. Never left Keller and still paid attention to what was going on, but I didn't get involved, and I didn't feel like it was my place to get involved because, again, the citizens made a choice. So I felt like I owed it to Julie to allow her to basically come in here and do the job the citizens elected her to do. So I, like everybody else, I just sat back and, you know, just kind of watched what she did and the way she did it. And but I must admit, after 4 years, I had some concerns about some of the things that were going on, and it's one of the reasons why I decided to get involved again.
And that brings to the next question. In 2007, you did decide to run again.
Yes.
What brought on that decision?
Well, just a lot of things, because, you know, again, here I am. I've been involved in the city for like 12 years. I felt like I was a part of the city, or the city was a part of me, maybe. And I was really proud of what we had accomplished when I was there, because we had a great team, and we really, in my mind, did a lot of great things as a group, considering where we were, you know, when we first got here and where we were when I left. And to kind of see some of the things that have transpired in that four-year period, you know, and I think the thing that hurt most was the library issue. That just, you know, that library issue just divided the town, and that was the last thing in the world that this town needed. You know, and that was why I got involved the first time, because when I got involved in 95, again, we had a divided town. We had the recall election, and they're throwing the mayor and councilman out of office, you know. And I almost, it was nowhere near as bad as that, obviously, but I felt like we were going back to that. You know, it just brought back bad memories, and I just hated to see the town become divided over head of an issue that, in all honesty, should have never been an issue. And I just felt like it just wasn't handled properly. And there was other issues, you know. When I ran for mayor in 03, my number one priority was to get that fire station built in Hidden Lakes. It was important. I knew then we needed it. And you could go back to this day, and you can look in the Star-Telegram, and you'll see in 03 that was my number one priority in my campaign, build the Hidden Lakes fire station. Because I knew then that neighborhood needed. As a matter of fact, it was I that had the developer dedicate the five acres for the fire station. The average response time, as we speak, or at that time, was 12 minutes to Hidden Lakes. That's totally unacceptable. I'm embarrassed that we're just now getting the fire. The fire station will be up and running hopefully by the end of February, but I wish I could have just make it happen sooner. The new fire truck's already here. The ambulances we're getting ready to order.
The staff's been hired.
Staff, matter of fact, there's two new guys just started this week. This is their first week, and that'll be the end of the new staff. Yeah, so we're going to be ready to go with this thing come the end of February. In the meantime, we've since put the third ambulance in service. We're just running out of another station, but we're to the point we need three ambulances full time, which means, you know, ultimately we'll have one in each of the three fire stations.
Well, that kind of brings us to the here and now. A lot's happened in the last year and a half since you were
elected. Boy, has it, yeah. Wow.
But let's talk about the events of last November. Jim Carson was accused of charter violations, and it just so happened that you had to make the deciding vote. Yeah. Can you elaborate on the reasoning behind that vote, and do you regret how the whole situation kind of played out in the public?
Well, I don't regret my vote. You know, I'm no doubt in my mind, you know, me personally, I feel like I made the right vote because the citizens elected Jim Carson to city council, and I felt like it was their place to, you know, have the say-so as to whether they re-elect or don't. I didn't feel like it was the place of the council to remove Jim Carson from the city council. I think Jim, and to this day I still think he's a good person. I think he had a lot of good intentions. It maybe just was the way he went about doing some of the things he did. But I think he did, in fact, bring a lot of good things to the city. You know, but again, he did create his share of controversy. We all know that. But I still didn't think it was my place, nor anybody on the city council's place, to remove from office. I felt like that was something the citizens need to decide for themselves, and we all know how that turned out. So,
okay. Also, that night was a busy night at city council. Yeah. You know, my wife and I were both there. We both spoke that night in Citizens to be Heard, which, by the way, start that over. Yeah. We both talked at Citizens to be Heard, and that just clicked something in my mind. The Citizens to be Heard was actually instituted back when you first served on city council.
Yes.
Because before that time,
there was no such thing.
And that was kind of, from my little bit of understanding what happened back in 95 with the recall, that was one of the things that people were mad that they didn't have a way to vent their frustrations.
I used to sit in city council meetings way back when in the early 90s, and the mayor, if you would even try to say something, he would tell you, if you don't shut up, I'm going to have you arrested. Matter of fact, they got to the point you couldn't get in city council meetings. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in this town today that really just don't know where we were back then. But we were in the old town hall, and I remember many a night standing out on the sidewalk on 377 there hoping I wouldn't get run over by a truck, trying to look in the window to see what was going on because they wouldn't let you inside. They would lock the doors and say, well, the place is full, there's no more room, and we would all stand out there looking in the window. And a particular councilman, I won't mention his name now, all of a sudden he'd look and he'd see us there and he'd close the blinds.
Oh,
and they had this little, and it's to this day, it's still there, this little microphone hangs over the door, a little speaker, and we could hear what was going on. But and when we would get in, the mayor would always tell, at that time we had police chief Bill Griffin, he'd always tell the chief, arrest that man, take him out of here, whatever. Not me, but whoever, right. You know, anybody at all that had tried to have any input or say anything at all. I
mean, would they arrest him? Or would they just...
No, the chief.
The chief knew better.
It was so embarrassing
but
back then.
For those people that are new to Keller and had never been to the old town hall, I had the opportunity, because I moved to town just before this building was built.
Yeah.
There was, what, maybe 20 chairs?
Probably so, yeah.
About 20 chairs in the audience and the parking and the get-in. You'd have to walk through offices. If you come into the back door, you'd have to walk through people's offices to actually get to the city council.
Maybe the middle of a meeting on the way.
Right.
So, yeah, it was unbelievable where we were then versus where we are now.
Yeah, I always made the comment that I thought the city manager's office in this new building was bigger than the whole city hall was.
Yeah, well, close to it. But, you know, and again, that just shows where we've come over the years. I mean, you know, and there was nothing wrong with where we were.
Right.
But the town has just grown so much, and, you know, so many people have moved here. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great city. You know, I'm proud of it. You know, I mean, here we are, Money Magazine, you know, one of the top 100 places to live in the United States, D Magazine, one of the top 10 suburbs in the Metroplex. I mean, that stuff just doesn't happen by accident. It just takes a vision, and it takes a lot of planning and controlled growth. And, you know, key word, controlled growth.
Right.
You know, and I know we'll probably end up hitting on that before it's all over.
Well, right now, yeah. I mean, that night with the controversy over Councilman Carson, there's probably 300 people. I don't know, other than with the library issue, if I ever saw so many people at a city council meeting. But they were there because of Keller Station.
Yeah. That was sad.
So what, the question I guess I formulated is, what steps has Keller taken to uphold the primarily non-residential portion of the Keller Town Center UDC?
Okay, well, as you know, sitting on planning and zoning, as we speak, it's one of the many things we've done in the last year and a half. Is it a year and a half? No, I guess.
Yep.
Time flies, we're having fun. But we're in the process of reviewing the entire UDC, which is a Unified Development Code, and part of that consists of Town Center. The town center, to me, is so important, and what we do with that portion of and the direction, you know, that we go ultimately, we've broken out, and it's being studied separately. We've even hired a consultant to do a study on. He will come back with his recommendations, and we will have the people from the Economic Development Board, along with Planning and Zoning, and ultimately City Council involved in the final decision process. But I think we need to take a second look at our town center guidelines, and we need to make sure that they basically tell us what, in fact, the citizens want to see in town center. Because right now, there's no doubt in my mind, the citizens do not want to see any rental property in town center. So, and I think we need to make sure that people understand that and we do what they want. Because in honesty, Keller Station, there was a lot of good things to the project itself, but the apartment portion of it, It was a deal killer. There's no doubt about it.
The people have spoken.
Yeah, and I understand it, and I respect it. And that's what it's all about. That's why I'm here. I'm here to represent the citizens. And if the citizens don't want it, we're not going to do it. And there's no doubt in my mind they don't want it, so we're not going to do it. Now, having said that, I personally spoke to the developer several times, and I told him, I says, people don't want it. They're not going to do it. But he was adamant in the fact that he felt he needed to have it to make it work. And he just, for whatever reason, thought that he could push it through. Well, he found out you can't. The citizens do not want it. They're not going to support it, and turn it, neither did the council. So we're taking a hard look at. We've got consultants in here now reviewing the UDC, and we're gonna try and clean up the guidelines. But at the same time, we need to move forward. You know, development wise, especially north side of 729, we need that development.
And that brings to the next question about my favorite subject since I
must
moved
be the TIF.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Be sure to listen next time as we finish our conversation with Mayor Pat McGrail and find out his opinions on the TIF, the previous city manager.
And again, you know, that was all part of the challenge because, as you all know, when I walked in the door, I had no city manager. And I had an assistant city manager who had no defined responsibilities or duties.
His management philosophy.
You know, I don't think people always think of it that way, but, you know, we're talking a $68 million budget. We're talking 375 full-time employees. To me, it's a business. So in my mind, we need to run it like a business. You know, and I'm going back to my days of American Airlines because that's what we do. You have to have a structure. You have to run it like a business, and that's what we're doing.
And whether or not he plans to run again in the spring.
Again, that's what I like about him. He's an honest man. He doesn't try and make things what they're not.
Today, the music is again brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network, David Kraut, Don't Listen, and can be found at his website, davidkraut.com.
she saw something they didn't see. And after 10 years, she's still here. Her diamond ring is my grandma's. And everyone that got it wrong likes to tell me they knew all along. Well, funny how people forget. They thought the opposite, yeah. Every skeptic, every cynic, every small-time smart-ass critic taught me one lesson. Don't listen. Every insult, every slight, every stick of bubble dynamite taught me one lesson. Don't listen. Some people spend their lives on the sidelines. Never try, cause I can't survive the criticism. The toughest critic you'll find is the one in your mind. You don't have to listen. Every skeptic, every cynic, every small-time smart-ass critic, learn this lesson. Don't listen. Every insult, every slight, every stick of verbal dynamite will teach you one lesson. Don't listen. Yeah, learn this lesson. Don't.